This is Insight on Cap Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. 2020 isn't only a presidential election year, it's an Olympic year with the Summer Games in Tokyo from July 24th to August 9th. And if you follow swimming and Olympic history, you will recognize the name Jeff Float. He was chosen by his peers to be captain of the 1984 U.S. Olympic team. He swam on the men's 4x200 free relay, which won gold and set a world record. Jeff also finished fourth in the 200 individual medley. Well, this is a new year, and Jeff has a new job, and it's brought him full circle in his swimming history. I am so happy to have him back in the Insight studio. Welcome and happy new year.
Oh, thank you, Beth. It's so nice to be with you.
Does an Olympic year always mean something to you when you know a Summer Games is coming?
Oh, of course. I used to call it a shoebox sport. Every 4 years, they take it out of the shoebox, and all of a sudden, it's in the limelight. So, yes, it brings special memories, especially with Olympic trials in June.
You have won world championships and many national championships, but I think the largest number of swimming gold medals and records came in something called the World Games for the Deaf, or the Deaf Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
And not everybody's aware of these games. They happen every 4 years. I think they just happened in December of 2019. Tell me about the Deaf Olympics.
Well, that was my first kind of big international trip. It was in Bucharest, Romania, and in a communist country. And so it was a very eye-opening experience for me. And I had a tremendous amount of success prior to that with my training with Sherm Shabur and at the national level. And so when I got there, it was my first international experience, as well as being around the deaf community and experiencing more sign language and how the world communication, different sign from different countries. So you had to kind of be careful of what you were saying with your hand.
What is the extent of your deafness in each ear?
So I have approximately 90% loss in my right ear and a 60 to 65% loss in my left ear as measured by decibels. So the different frequencies, I have a higher loss, the higher the frequency in the sounds.
When you were young, what was available in terms of strategies or equipment or assistance? And I mean really little, because this was discovered before kindergarten for you?
Well, I had a viral meningitis when I was 13 months old, but it wasn't really discovered till later. They didn't really have testing modalities for young kids.
Right.
And so it wasn't until I was about five when my parents realized that, you know, there was a hearing deficiency. And so we started out with a body pack, you know, that was wore around your chest and had wires that went up to your ears and eventually evolved to behind-the-ear hearing aids. And now the technology is truly incredible, where it's an application called Thrive that really does, with artificial intelligence, does multiple things that are truly incredible to allow me to hear practically as a normal person.
There was a special honor in 2000. The International Committee of Deaf Sports named you Deaf Olympian of the Century. You started coaching in 1996, right?
Mm-hmm.
How was that transition to go from athlete to coach?
Well, I didn't have anything to do with water after the 84 Olympics, except for body surfing in Newport Beach for about 12 years until 1996. I'd moved back up to Sacramento in 92. Got my real estate license, and then a really good friend of mine said, hey, there's a position open up in Laguna Creek. Maybe you should look at it. So I decided, yeah, let me try coaching at the rec level at the Laguna Creek Sports Club, and it's kind of stuck ever since.
So now here we are, and in your coaching life, after 24 years with Spare Time Clubs that mm-hmm. started at that Laguna Creek Club, you have taken an opportunity, and that's really the real reason for this conversation today, because you've made a great big circle around in your swimming life. So congratulations. Will you describe what's happened?
Well, it wasn't something I was really looking for. It was something that kind of evolved and presented itself. And where, you know, the coach at Arden Hills was looking to go to the year-round program and looking for a rec coach and just sent me an email, hey, might you be interested? And I just kind of listened to see what they had and what the situation was. And, I've had a really great run at Gold River Sports Club. I've really enjoyed working there. It's been a very nice, intimate, great coaches, Katie Bordaletto and Stephanie Turnbull and Christy Dion. They've just been awesome coaches to work with, and our program was just, you know, we won 7 championships in 10 or 11 years. And I think that, you know, really was a preface to where I'm headed now.
So you're going to, or you are now, have started working at Arden Hills Country Club. And so that the point is made, you said Sherm Shavor earlier. And Sherm Shavor was the coach of many Olympic greats at Arden Hills, including you. And that's the pool that you're back in now. And that's the pool that you started swimming at when you were 7?
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, Sherm was my mentor, tour mentor, if you will. And you know,
many of the athletes will say that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. No, but he was my, you know, he was the guru for me, and I stayed with him for 17 years. And not many athletes can say they had the same coach for that many years in a career and ending with an Olympic gold medal. And you know, to this day, his influence is still resonate, and to be able to be in that environment where I started, it just makes it feel like home and feel like, you know, where I spent, you know, my childhood formative years from 7 to 24. It's a great feeling, and the fit, you know, at the rec level, which I enjoy, the grassroots, which I've done for a long time. And also to be able to work with the year-round kids on a private level really makes it really rewarding.
I'm talking with Olympic gold medalist swimmer Jeff Float from Sacramento. He swam at Arden Hills with Sherm Shavor, coach of Olympic greats that include Mark Spitz, Debbie Meyer, Mike Burton. In fact, the athletes that came out of Arden Hills have set more than 200 world and American records, have earned 33 Olympic medals, 22 of them gold. There's that whole remarkable history. But when you get back to that pool and you stand at the side of the pool and you look at the water and the lanes, what part of it is so personal for you?
Well, I look in at that pool and I see, how did I swim all those laps? I think I calculated in my career I've swum about 30 to 35,000 miles, and a lot of them in that pool, as well as, you know, of course, in college. And it just brings a memory that memories, I should say, of great desire and success, and I'm happy to be in a position to be able to pass that on the rec level as well as the elite level, and there's a foundation in place, I think, where really, really great things are going to come out of Arden Hill.
What have you come to understand about coaching? What do you understand about Sherm coaching you and what your style is in coaching young athletes?
Well, Sherm was really over distance training, whereas I'm kind of the opposite now with the ultra short race pace training, and it's a lot more about technique, and it's not about yelling at your kids. It's about understanding the athlete. I think everyone has their own special, unique needs, and it's a matter of approaching them, a team aspect as well as individually, and being able to relate to the athlete, you know, in a way that they can flourish and be able to, but it's not about how many yards or how many miles we're swimming. It's more about the quality and race pace and technique.
Have you coached kids, boys or girls, who remind you of you as a youngster?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, there's a swimmer named Brady Calkins that I've known since birth, and he's, you know, was on a championship 2017 team and broke all the rec records now with the Sierra Marlins. And a lot of people say, hey, he looks just like you were at 9 years old. And I just posted a picture of myself on Facebook, and some of the comments were, hey, doesn't that look like Brady? But yeah, he's a future superstar in the making. And I've also had another swimmer, Jonathan Tikhanov, who was a depth swimmer that I coached for a while, that also resembled myself in a lot of ways, and which was a few years back, but yeah, there's been a couple.
What's unique about coaching a deaf swimmer, in addition to the fact that you can't hear the beep or the starting sound? Somebody needs to visually start you. What else is involved in the whole experience of swimming?
Well, it's, you know, with Jonathan, it was almost like we were on the same wavelength, and he could read my mind, and he could, you know, anticipate and understand and a lot without kind of a nonverbal communication, although, you know, with the deaf athlete, it's they're very internal, and they're very they're expressive with their sign language. So it's a matter of understanding each other's expressions and how we communicate, not just verbally but nonverbally.
I want to note that you were chosen for the U.S. boycotted Olympic team, and that was the 1980 team. Mm-hmm. And then in 2008, you were awarded a Congressional Gold Medal of Honor in honor of, I guess, the representation of the country at a time when you couldn't live out your sport. Some athletes, that was their window. You were mm-hmm. able to go on to 1984. What are your thoughts about this coming in Olympics? And Japan is calling it the Recovery Olympics, remembering the 1964 games. It's always a powerful sport, swimming is, for the U.S.
Yeah, well, in 1980, we were visited the White House, and we were given a medal. They didn't call it the Congressional Medal, but a couple of our swimmers brought it to the attention, and that's why we received it at that point in time in 2008, I guess. And with the Olympic trials coming up, they're honoring the 1960 and 1980 Olympic teams. And so I was very, very blessed that I had a couple of years left at USC to fall back on some teammate support, and still earn my scholarship for two more years. So although I was at my peak, I still had some life left in me, so to speak, although it was a very depressing time to go through what we did in 1980.
Well, I think so many people hope you have a long coaching life ahead of you. I want to say congratulations, people cheering from Sacramento, Arden Hills, through Jesuit, USC, spare time clubs, all the way. I'm among those parents whose kids benefited from all that you did. So thank you, Jeff, and congratulations.
Well, you're quite welcome, Beth, and I remember fondly the times you spent here at Gold River.
That is Jeff Float, Sacramento swimmer, and that's Insight for today. I'm Beth Ruyak. Thanks for joining us.